one day.
A blessed good morning to all of you, and greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be unto you. I wish you all a happy 2024 and a blessed new year, and trusting that God's richest provisions will be yours throughout this year. My name is Emilike Ejo, and I am the pastor at the Newberry Church of the Nazarene, and it is a pleasure to be here with you at the start of this new year, 2024, for the Because He Lives program under the auspices of the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. God has indeed been gracious to us, and we give Him thanks for allowing us to reach this moment in time, whereby we can continue along our journey here on earth in service to our great God and King. I will be sharing with you throughout this month of January, and I am deeply looking forward to all that God will accomplish through our time together each Sunday morning. Our theme as a district church for 2024 is maximizing the spiritual gifts for church growth. But my desire for us over these next few Sundays is to hone in on the underlying premise of the purpose of the spiritual gifts, and dare I say, the premise for our journey as Christians. That premise could be adequately represented in this simple thematic concept, reflecting Jesus. And I believe it represents a significant point from which our new year could progress and take shape. This is the primary responsibility of every believer, as we are called to be followers of Jesus Christ. That is literally what the term Christian means, a Christ follower. And in so doing, our lives ought to reflect the nature and character of our Lord. We take a look at how reflecting Jesus is not only the responsibility of those who are in ministerial leadership, but also for those who may not be formal teachers or preachers of the word, but are committed disciples of Jesus Christ. Our foundational text under this theme is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. And today, I just want to share a few thoughts with us from this passage that help to set the stage, so to speak, as far as the importance of reflecting Jesus is concerned. So permit me at this time to read the text from the New International Version. And it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to be gathered together in this setting for your name to be honored and glorified. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to the start of this year for this program. And we pray, Lord, that even as your word goes forth, your name is declared, that lives will be touched, changed, transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you will use this session today and the sessions to follow, Lord, to see lives come into new encounters with you. Sanctify these airwaves, God. May there be clarity as your word is put forth. And we pray, God, that people would hear from you, even as we as your servants share your word. So we give you thanks for all that you will accomplish in and through us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, like I said, we're looking at the concept of reflecting Jesus. And there are a few things that we can glean from this text in Matthew 5, 14 to 16 that will allow for us to extract things that will be useful for us as we strive to be people who reflect Jesus. Now, from the text, there is no coincidence that the first major public reference of Jesus' earthly ministry from the Gospel writer Matthew was the master engaging with downtrodden folk before giving a sermon. Jesus had been baptized by his cousin John. He had gone through a period of time in the wilderness where he fasted and also successfully battled against the enemy. Between chapters 3 and 4, we are given some background context for what eventually took place in chapter 5. And so between chapters 3 and 4, we see, like I said, the baptism of Jesus, where the Father appeared and gave the affirmation of his Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit rested on Jesus in the form of a dove as he emerged from the water of baptism. And then Jesus would proceed into the wilderness where he would be tested by the devil, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, having emerged from those experiences, Jesus then would go and call his first disciples, and move on to go through Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, teaching and proclaiming repentance. But he also healed those who were sick from the diseases that they had. People would come from far and away to engage with Jesus because the word about what he was doing spread, and people felt compelled to come to him for healing of various kinds. At the end of chapter 4, Matthew let us know that there were large crowds who followed him, and that led seamlessly into the setting that we see in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus made his way to a mountainside and then began to teach his disciples, and by extension, those who were in his hearing. Now, that teaching session or sermon was what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this message, Jesus covered a wide variety of concepts and principles as it related to being a follower of God. In other words, Jesus gave the principles needed to reflect him. There were principles for the folks who were there in the immediate hearing of Jesus' voice, that would be those on the mountainside, but also for those to whom the gospel writing was initially designed. So when Matthew wrote his gospel, he wrote it to an audience, and that would have been sometime after Jesus would have left earth. And then beyond that, there are principles for us, a 2024 audience, reading these incredible and impactful words from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having presented the listeners with the Beatitudes, and we see those between verses 3 to 12 of chapter 5, Jesus shared about his followers being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, two primary elements of first century society, salt and light, and I would suggest in some regards, they could be viewed as primary elements in our society today. Now, Jesus utilized this imagery in order to emphasize the importance of his followers making an impact on the cultural environment in which they existed. So just as salt and light impact the natural order of things, Jesus was calling his followers to a far greater, far deeper purpose. And so between verses 14 and 16, Jesus highlighted the importance and the relevance of light in such a simple way for persons to understand. Now, this is important for us because as we look at reflecting Jesus, we're looking at how it dovetails with the principles that Jesus gave regarding being light. And so between those three verses, we get to see just how important it was for Jesus' followers to be reflections of his using the imagery of light. Jesus said this to them. He said that they were the light of the world, and then exhorted them that a town or a city that was built on a hill could not be hidden. Now, some may suggest that such a statement was really obvious, because once something is on a hill or any elevated plain, it is pretty difficult to miss. Yet, Jesus' purpose would have been to exhort his followers that they were not meant to conceal their renewed nature of being his followers. As if to hammer home that point about not being hidden, Jesus then said that no one would light a lamp and then put it under a bowl or a bushel. There would be no point to lighting a lamp and putting it under the bowl. Why? Because the light from the lamp will not be able to impact anyone or anything except that small space under the bowl. And if the bowl was of such that it prevented oxygen from getting in while the fire of the lamp was lit, eventually the light will go out. Jesus let it be known that, look, as light, you have no impact if you're covered, if you're shrouded, if you're hidden. You need to be exposed. You need to be seen. You need to be visible. And so based on that expression from Jesus, there are two things regarding reflecting Jesus that I want for us to seriously hold on to. Number one, we cannot reflect Jesus by hiding him. We cannot reflect Jesus by hiding him. Now, this is very important to understand. This is not referencing those persons who are living in places where their lives are at risk for being followers of Jesus, because even for them, they still boldly let it be known that they are followers of Christ, even if not in public settings like ours here in Barbados, where we can utilize the airwaves on the radio, we can utilize the television means, we can use social media, we have our churches which are open. Their settings are much different from ours. And what is intriguing is that they're actually under threat because of their devotion to the Lord. So it is not that they're hiding the fact that they are Christ followers, but they're using creative ways to let it be known, listen, we are followers of Jesus. And so with that in mind, that Jesus cannot be reflected if he's hidden, Jesus actually provided the alternative to the premise of hiding the light under a bowl for his disciples. He said that the lamp is put on its stand and it provides light to everyone in the house. The light gets to be at its most impactful and its most potent when it is put in a place that it showcases itself freely and without hindrance or covering. The entire room or house is able to experience being lit because the light is not held under cover. And for those who are in the room or house, they are all able to benefit from not having to fight with darkness, with all that comes with it regarding uncertainty. And so Jesus let it be known, listen, when your light is under a bowl, it cannot make an impact. But your light is on its stand, then you can provide light for everyone in the house. And the beauty of light is that it dispels darkness. Darkness comes with uncertainties and fears and trepidations. Light dispels that, meaning it allows for the darkness to be shattered so that what is there may be seeking to be hidden and potentially causing harm, it is not eliminated. It cannot be concealed. It cannot be shrouded. And so both in a natural context and in a larger spiritual context, they do not have to be as greatly concerned with getting injured or damaging something in the house or in the room or in the environment that they're in where there is no light, because when the light is shining, that darkness, that shrouding effect is dispelled. Now, the natural expression and representation from Jesus regarding the light, that was actually augmented by him, provided a greater spiritual instruction. And what that would do, it would cement the premise of his followers being the light of the world. So Jesus did not only give them the natural representation, but he also gave them the spiritual context and the spiritual meaning. This is what Jesus told them. You see this in verse 16. He told them to let their light shine before others, that they may see their good deeds and praise their Father in heaven. The understanding here from Christ was that they needed to allow the light of Jesus to shine through them. They needed to reflect Jesus. And they needed to do it before others so that it could be seen and observed and experienced. And so this will lead us to the second concept. Reflecting Jesus is not only beneficial for the Christ follower. Reflecting Jesus is not only beneficial for the Christ follower. To be fair, the one who truly benefits from a light is not normally the light itself. If you think of your own homes or the buildings that you're in, but you flick the light switch on, the light that shines, the benefit is not for the light. It's for those who are in that room. It's for those who are in that space. And so what the light being lit shows is that it is working as it should. But the benefit, the true benefit, is for those who come under the effects of the light. Now, as it related to the disciples, Jesus wanted them to understand that when they allow their lights to shine and not be hidden or concealed, others who did not have the same kind of relationship with God that they had would see how they were carrying themselves and glorify the Father in heaven. In other words, the benefit would not be so much for the Christ follower, but for those who were not Christ followers and who Jesus was desirous of becoming followers of his. Here's what's also key. The glory would not go to the lights. The glory would go to the one who empowered them to be lights, which meant the glory would not go to the disciples. It would go to God, because he was the one who empowered them to be his lights here on earth. You see, that message that Jesus gave to those disciples then is the same one that we believers today are expected to embody in our context. Jesus expected his followers at that time to reflect him to all they encountered and not hide the fact that they were his. Jesus was not calling these folks to be covert followers of his, with the meaning that they were not to hide the fact that they were devoted to him. that premise is also expected of us today. We are not expected by the Lord Jesus to hide the fact that we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are called to reflect him. In other words, let others see him. And Jesus expected his followers then to reflect him in all contexts. And he expects us today to reflect him to all people, regardless of who they are. Now, it can be really easy to appear to be a light when surrounded by other lights, where we may not be as compelled to be genuine in our shining, because the others may take up the slack, so to speak. So when we think of that, think of a setting like being in church or being surrounded by a congregation of believers. It can be a lot easier to let your light shine in that context because you're surrounded by others who are also light shiners or light reflectors. And dare I say, it can also be easy to allow yourself to maybe not be as luminous as you need to be in that setting too, because there are others around you who are shining. But when we are in spaces which are bombarded with darkness, and we are not propped up by others around us, we then have to demonstrate that we are truly reflections of the light of Christ. In other words, when we are in spaces that are not like those in church, or in spaces where we are hearing people preaching or publicly praying or singing, when we are in spaces that don't have those things going on publicly and overtly, it becomes more impressed upon us to then truly reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Where there is darkness, that light needs to be shone in an even greater way than just in a setting where there are other lights around. And so Jesus called his disciples then to reflect him in all contexts, whether favorable or unfavorable. And for us today, we are also called to reflect Jesus in contexts, whether favorable or unfavorable. And so, beloved, I will confess to us this, that being a reflection of Jesus in today's environment is not easy. Trust me, I know. Don't think that because I'm a pastor that this makes it any easier to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't guarantee you, because you're a minister of the gospel, that it makes shining for Christ easier. No, it doesn't. We still exist in an environment, in a world that is challenging and difficult at times. The darkness of the world and the combative forces that exist in seemingly every space, that can make it seriously challenging to let the light of Christ shine through. But, beloved, because of the difficulties and the challenges that we have to face, we must be more purposeful and committed in our resolve to let Jesus be seen in and through us, no matter what. Yes, we're going to be bombarded with lots of forces and lots of things that may be unpleasant, whether in a favorable setting or a setting that you would not necessarily expect. But we must commit ourselves to being the light bearers of Jesus Christ. We must. We have to. And don't think, again, because I'm a minister, that that makes it easier. And I'm just saying this without any understanding of how challenging it can be. No, I understand the challenge. I understand the difficulty. But I also know the importance of not allowing your circumstances to dictate whether or not you reflect Jesus. Now, I'm going to guess that for most of you listening to me this morning, that you may have decided to make New Year's resolutions, the things that you want to do or accomplish through this year. I'm also going to guess that for some of you, many of those resolutions you may have to readdress or reassess as the year progresses. And you may even choose to toss some of them aside. No, I'm not saying what exactly those resolutions may be, but I'm going to guess that some of you may discard some of the things that you choose to do at the beginning of the year. All right? No, I want to issue you with this challenge. I don't want to call it a resolution per se, but I'd rather call it a challenge. And here's the thing. I will even commit to embracing this challenge for myself along with you. So here's the challenge. purpose that this year, 2024, will be the start of your journey to be a genuine and authentic reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Yes, every day. Not some days, not most days, every day. This is our challenge. That's the man had a text. And Jesus said to his followers in Matthew chapter 5 that they needed to let their light shine. He did not mean once or twice a week or occasionally when they gathered together for corporate worship or only when they went to make their offerings at the temple or, dare I say, only when they were around Jesus. Jesus was calling them to a higher level of commitment and devotion that would need to be represented daily without fail, which would also mean they needed to reflect him even when he was not around physically. And beloved, guess what? That level of devotion is expected of us today as followers of Jesus Christ. You see, it is through the unwavering commitment and devotion that those who do not currently believe in the Lord Jesus would see a difference in us and be drawn to the one who has made the difference in our lives. In essence, it is through our devotion to the Lord, our willingness to commit to be reflections of Jesus, that then others would see him in us and come to know him as Lord and as Savior. Now you may be saying, well, Rev, undertaking that challenge is tough to do on my own. And you know what? You're right. You are absolutely right. It is practically impossible to do on your own. But again, check the beauty of God. He has given us his Holy Spirit to be our divine helper. The Holy Spirit, he's available and accessible to empower us to be the lights of the world that the Lord expects us to be. He is the one who will help us to be the true reflections of Jesus, who could be used to see our world transformed for the honor and glory of God. Now, there will still be challenges. There will still be obstacles. There will still be battles to fight and pain to endure. Yes, there will still be hardships, no doubt. But the Holy Spirit will be there through it all, and he will walk every step of the way with us to empower us to be reflections of Jesus Christ. That's pretty special, yeah? God himself would help us to be the reflections of his that he desires us to be. Beloved, I trust that as you go through today and the days ahead, that you will embrace this challenge of reflecting Jesus in every aspect of your lives and see how the light of Christ shining through you impacts those around you for the glory of our great God. So I'm hoping that you will embrace this challenge with me. Embrace this challenge with me for this year, 2024, of reflecting Jesus every day. All right? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise for giving us this opportunity, God, to be in this setting this morning. Lord, again, we thank you for utilizing these airwaves, God, to declare the truth of your gospel. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And we pray that you will empower us this day and every day moving forward to be reflections of yours. God, we recognize that it is not easy or even possible to do it on our own. And we need your Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to be the reflections of Jesus that we ought to be. So Lord, we are asking that you will empower us this day and every day to be the reflections of yours that will bring honor and glory to your name, and see men, women, boys, and girls coming to know you as Lord and Savior. We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, I just want to take this opportunity to thank our sponsors, Federal Motor Spears, located in Bank Hall, St. Michael, and also the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. Special thanks to Starcom Network for granting us this platform to share the good news of Jesus Christ over these airwaves. Additionally, thanks to all members for your involvement in the District Week of Prayer as we commence this new year. We're looking forward to all that the Lord will do among us as we go through 2024. I also want to make this announcement regarding our family service, which will be held on January the 21st at the Lord Erskine Sandiford Center, and Looking forward to seeing all of you, dear Nazarenes and non-Nazarenes. You are welcome to join with us for our district family service on the 21st of January. Beloved, have a wonderful day today, and whatever you do, I urge you to please be safe and purpose to reflect the Lord Jesus, not only today, but every day. Looking forward to you tuning in with us next week, God willing, as we continue along this journey of reflecting Jesus. God bless you.
I'll never quite measure up. I'll never get it all right. No, I'm not perfect, but that's okay. 'Cause I'll never give up the fight to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus on earth I long to be like Him all through life's journey from earth to glory. I only ask to be like Him. And how do I ever leave? But there's far too much for my eyes to see. Just let me walk closer to Thee. From earth to glory, I like him.